Hello, everybody, and welcome. With Bob Christopher, this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in the good news of Jesus Christ. Our listener lines are open, and we'll welcome your calls now at 844-322-2742. If you have a Bible question, or if you're dealing with some difficult personal issue, let us hear from you. The lines are open, so call now, 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, what does it mean to be free in Jesus Christ? How do we experience this freedom on a day-to-day basis? Well, that's what we're going to be talking about today, and we would love for you to weigh in on that topic, either by sharing your own personal experience or by asking a question. So that's our topic for the day. The number for you to call is 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. And we're excited to be doing this program together to talk about the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Before we dive into that topic, first an update on Bob Davis. He underwent surgery, back surgery, yesterday, and the surgery was successful, and he was doing so well in his recovery that a 2 to 3 day hospital stay has been shortened down to one. So he is being released this afternoon, and I think that is good news. So thank you to our listeners for lifting him up in prayer and being concerned about him, and I think he'll be back with us seemingly a lot sooner than we anticipated. So that's good news. Well, let's dive into our topic, grace and freedom, today. And we're going to go to an oldie but goodie as far as a passage of scripture that is well known, well discussed in many, many circles. But the implications of it really tie into the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is talking to Jews who had believed in him. That's how this particular passage starts. And he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what is the truth? Well, it's the truth concerning the grace of God.
Yes.
That's the truth. Paul talks about that. You heard the truth concerning the grace of God, and you believed, and that truth has been bearing fruit, that grace has been bearing fruit in your life ever since. So when you learn the truth, you're going to learn the truth that Jesus is the one full of grace and truth. So if you abide in his word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, these Jews who had believed in him, they had an interesting response. They answered him, we are all offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, the slave does not remain in the house forever. It's the son that remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So Jesus Christ brings grace into our lives, and this grace is the very power that releases us from the bonds of sin and death. Yes. I love how Paul put it in Romans 8, I think 2, that you have been set free from the law of sin and death by the power of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that's what Jesus is talking about here. Mm-hmm. We need the power of God's grace to liberate us. And that grace, as we've always said and will continue to say, is tied to the person and work of Jesus Christ. You can't experience the grace of God apart from him. So this is really a fantastic passage, isn't it? And it's something that is near and dear to your heart because of the freedom that you're walking in today as a believer in Christ.
Yes, because I'll never stop thinking about and remembering the transition. Because I used to be one of those people that says, well, I've kept the law since I was a youth. And then I'd hear God laugh just like you did. And I'd say, no, I really have. And then I discovered that I was a complete slave to sin. Why? Because I had sinned at least once in my life. I was a slave to sin, and I needed to be freed from that. And when it finally got through to me, I mean, God had been showing me this stuff for years and years, and when it finally took root and the Spirit finally explained to me that it's okay that you're a slave to sin. That's how you were born. But if you will accept Jesus the way he is intended to be accepted, you will discover freedom and you'll never go back. And
that's
absolutely true.
That's exactly right. And, you know, a point I think that needs to be made, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. This is kind of a lifestyle practice. Mm-hmm. This is living in unbelief.
Yes.
And John goes forward to chapter 16, and he talks about the fact that God's Spirit is going to convict the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment concerning sin, because the world does not believe in me, does not believe in Jesus. So that's the root, and that's what he's saying here, that if you're not believing in Jesus, if you're not putting your full weight of trust in him and his death, burial, and resurrection, then you're going to be a slave to sin. That's your spiritual condition apart from Christ. And he's the one, he's the only one that can set you free. And when he sets you free, you are free indeed. Mm-hmm. So this is the benefit of the grace of God. It's a life of freedom. It's a life of liberty. It is truly a liberation of the soul from the control of sin and death in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, swapping out the control of the Spirit of God instead.
Yes,
you're never
right.
left on your own, ever.
Never, never. And today, as children of God, we are led by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
That is radically different. That's revolutionary teaching right there, but that's the gospel. It is revolutionary. It takes us out of sin and death. I mean, Christ, through his death on the cross, defeated those forces of darkness that held us in bondage. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, he released us into this new life of freedom in him. Well, that's our topic for today. We would love for you to call right now, weigh in on this. Tell us about your experience of freedom in Christ. If you have questions about what it means to be free in Christ, or any other questions that are on your mind today, we would love to hear from you. Call this number. It's toll-free in the United States and in Canada, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Richard, you and I talk about this freedom that we have in Christ in this series that we're offering this month, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. The ultimate living out of the grace of God is this freedom that we've just talked about. And we want to put that in your hands as an encouragement to you, as a way to help you in your spiritual journey with Christ, and also as a resource that can equip you to share this wonderful message with others. And certainly, we all have opportunities all around us. And sometimes we don't open our mouths because we're just too afraid that we might botch it up, that we might just make a whole mess of it. Well, this resource will help give you some talking points that you can share this good news with others. So we want to put it in your hands. It's available at basicgospel.net. Just click on our donate button. And when you do, request your copy of Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out.
Yeah.
Well, again, my name is Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We certainly welcome you as well. 844-322-2742 is the number. Call right now. We would love to hear from you. Plenty of open lines just waiting for your call. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, we had this call that came in overnight. Richard, let's take a listen.
Hello. My question is concerning, I believe it's in Revelation. Someone asked me, how can everybody know about Jesus? Apparently, you know how they say everybody's supposed to know about Jesus before he comes back. And I believe there's a part in the scriptures in Revelation that says about the three angels that come down and one trumpets proclaiming Jesus. Could you please tell me what verse that is? Thank you. Bye.
Well, that's a great question. And as far as how can we all know Jesus? Well, Jesus is taking the initiative to make himself known. So none of us can know him apart from a revelation. We may know him from a historical standpoint, and we can recognize that he was, actually a human being that lived at a certain place and time. We can pinpoint him in history, our human history. But to know him beyond that, to recognize that he was fully God, fully man, to recognize that his death, burial, and resurrection is the good news that we all need, that is the news that can take us from spiritual death to spiritual life, that requires revelation. Well, God is not holding himself back. He has sent his Spirit. His Spirit is in the world, taking this message concerning Jesus to all corners of the world. So God is big enough to reach every single person. In Titus, we read a great passage in Titus 2:11, grace has appeared to all. Mm-hmm. How can that be possible? We're talking about God here.
Yeah.
It's possible with him. Now, Richard, she talks about a verse. She wants to know about a verse in Revelation. So
yeah.
Tell us about that.
The passage you're looking for is in Revelation 14, starting in verse 6. I won't read it all because it's a long passage. But there are three angels that give these messages. The first says, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him. And then there's another angel saying, fallen is Babylon. And then a third angel follows, anyone who worships the beast in his image. This is sort of wrapping up the conversation, if you want to call it that, of what's the basis of judgment? And again, it goes right back to what Jesus said in John 16. People will be convicted of sin, wrong concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And these three angels are saying that exact thing. It's not about how much you give or how good you think you are or any of the rest of this stuff. It's about Jesus. And if you haven't given him the glory, if you haven't accepted him, then all you've got to look forward to is doom and gloom. And we're sorry about that, but you're not left on your own. Like you just said, the Spirit is in the world right now working with everyone who has never believed in Jesus, saying, consider Jesus.
Yeah,
in a million different ways, he says that, consider Jesus. And if they will just listen for the first time and the Spirit can reveal the tiniest spark of who Jesus is to them, life changes.
Absolutely.
So we don't have to worry about that. The blood of the lost is not on my hands or your hands or anyone else's hands. It's God's responsibility, and he uses us, and he uses the Spirit, and he uses innumerable things to get through to people. But he's the one who's wooing them, who will change their lives, but who will also honor their choice if they refuse to come.
Yes, indeed. Now, that takes us to another question, I think, that really this particular topic begs, and that is this: does God send people to hell for particular sins? And I think, based on what you were just saying, the answer to that is a resounding no.
No.
The judgment is all about, what did you do with the Son? What did you do with Jesus? In Jesus is eternal life. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life. So that's the judgment that is going to be made, isn't it?
Yes.
And everybody has an opportunity to receive the Son. This gospel, this offer of life, is going out. The Spirit is taking it to all corners of the world.
Yeah.
So he's going to say that God, through people like us, through radio broadcasts, through sermons, through just conversations one-on-one, he's going to say through us and through this gospel message that God was in the world reconciling the world unto himself by not counting sins against them. And the blood of Jesus is that reconciling agent. So God isn't counting men's sins against them. The problem is the sin of unbelief.
Yes.
And that is corrected when somebody receives God's free offer of life. As you said, if they reject it and the judgment comes, then they're going to hear, they're going to hear from God, you rejected my offer of life, so you're going to remain in that state of spiritual death eternally.
Yeah, think about it this way. In Ephesians 2, Paul says that children of God are already seated with him in the heavenly places. Well, why is that such good news? I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but yet it has happened. Well, that's because we're born dead spiritually. We are born seated with Satan in hell, if you want to think of it in those terms. My behavior didn't put me there. The fact that I was born a human being put me there. And Jesus says, I can take you out of there and put you in the heavenly places if you'll just accept me.
That's exactly right.
That's an offer I want to listen to every
indeed.
Time.
Indeed. That's why they call this good news.
Yeah.
That's why they call this good news indeed. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. Let's hear this question that came in overnight.
Hi, it's Tuesday night, May 25th. I heard you speak about divorce and remarry. My question is, according to the New Testament, if a spouse puts another spouse away other than for the reason of fornication, and then that spouse remarries, is he committing adultery? Again, I want to know, is it in the sight of God, based on the New Testament, okay for a spouse to divorce another spouse for anything other than fornication? And then if that spouse remarries, is he committing adultery? And what about the spouse that was left behind? I personally know of a man who walked away from his wife and said it was because I don't think you love me and you don't respect me. And he is planning to divorce her, but he is claiming to be a disciple of Christ. Is that legal according to the New Testament? Thank you.
Well, I think we need to recouch the question. Is it legal? Well, the law is going to always say, from a legal standpoint, no. And it's going to label you a sinner if you move forward. Well, why is that? Because that's the language of the law. It never pats us on the back for good things that we do. It just points out sin. It shows us what sin is. It gives us the knowledge of sin, and it also gives us the punishment of sin. It shows us what that is. The wages of sin is death. So if we're looking at the law, then that's going to be a violation of the law. And no one's going to be able to stand.
Correct.
No one will be declared righteous through obedience to the law.
Whether they were married for 70 years or had 17 wives.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
We're all dead.
That's right. That's our condition under the law. But Jesus Christ fulfilled the law on our behalf. He fulfilled it in its entirety. And so when we come to Christ, the righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled in us. That's, again, why they call this good news. So now we have to ask the questions concerning marriage through the prism of the gospel,
yes.
Through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we don't bring it forward to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we're just going to make a legalistic mess of the question. So if we want some wisdom, if we want some grace answers about marriage, then we have to establish the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the foundation,
yes.
The framework in which to ask these questions.
And Jesus nailed the legalistic issue very clearly when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you've even looked at a woman, or from a woman's perspective, looked at a man with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. So now you're guilty.
That's right.
You don't want to have this conversation.
That's exactly.
You have to look at it through the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection,
yes.
of Jesus.
And when Jesus did have this conversation with some folks who ask him questions, mm-hmm. He said, yeah, that's what the law says, but let me take you back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's important for us to understand. Jesus never answered these questions through that legalistic framework. He went back to God's original design. And so when you go back to God's original design, it always says no to the divorce issue.
Yes.
Always. And in when we come to the forward to the new covenant, we see that Paul is going to address the marriage issue from that beginning foundation. And so he's going to say You know, if you're struggling, brothers and sisters in Christ who are married to one another, be reconciled to one another. That's the gospel. That's what the gospel is. Allow this gospel message of reconciliation be the empowering reality to bring you two to a point of being reconciled one to another. Now, sometimes if there's adultery in the mix, there's fornication, that's sometimes too hard to overcome. So people can say, all right, I've got to get out of this. So say, hey, is that a legitimate reason? Sure, that's a legitimate reason. Sometimes another spouse just abandons the other spouse. So that's a legitimate reason. But let the Spirit of God guide you in these things. So the first thing Paul's going to say is be reconciled. Why? You've been reconciled to God. You have this reconciliation inside of you, this desire to be reconciled inside of you. Let it bubble up in this particular circumstance and let God bring about that reconciliation in only the way that he can do so. Now, also, when these Pharisees were asking Jesus about that, they were trying to use the law as a loophole.
Yes.
So they were saying, hey, Moses allowed us to issue a certificate of divorce to our wives. Now, why were they doing that? Because they were tired of wife A, and they wanted girlfriend B to become wife B.
Yeah.
And so it was this lust, this adulterous yeah. spirit that was driving them forward.
I gave them a piece of paper. It yeah, must be yeah. right.
So yeah. I obeyed the law.
Yeah.
Legally, I was doing what was right according to the law. But as you were saying, Jesus is going to nail them as far as the heart is concerned. You are doing this because you have lust in your heart for this other person. So you're going to put your first wife away in order to marry your second. Well,
that's just wrong.
That, yeah, absolutely. That's nothing but you committing adultery, mm-hmm. in allowing the law to justify it in your mind. So let's recognize that Jesus fulfilled the law on our behalf, that Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death, that if divorce has happened in a person's life, that they have been forgiven yeah. for that. It's been taken away, nailed to the cross, sent away as far as the east is from the west. That's what's true concerning that sin. Now let's let the Spirit of God guide us as we move forward. Is it okay to get remarried? Yeah, it's okay. Is it wise? Is it
Maybe
always
not.
Wise? Maybe not. Well, how are you going to know that? By listening to the leading of God's Spirit, by listening to what the Spirit is revealing to you in the Word of God. But you have to allow yourself to put on the gospel glasses and allow this question to filter through the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, we sure appreciate that call, and I hope that clarified that for you. We'll be back tomorrow. Richard will be back tomorrow, and we will have another edition of Basic Gospel where we talk about grace and freedom and how to really live that freedom out on a day-to-day basis. So be sure and join us tomorrow at this same time on the same station that you're listening or whatever media channel that you're picking us up on. We'll be very excited and honored to have you join us again tomorrow. Our United Conference is coming up in October 15th through the 17th. All the information on how to be a part of this great event is on our website at basicgospel.net. And also, we have this fabulous resource that we want to put in your hands, Grace Defined, Grace Lived Out. Again, that's at basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and request your copy of this encouraging resource. We want you to have it. Well, for the entire Basic Gospel team, so long. We'll see you tomorrow.